All right, we were learning before Yontif for a few weeks the Kesem Aleph here from the Kamarna to help us understand the ideas that we're learning from the Malsham, but I want to move on to Kesem Shem Tov. We can do that piece in Kesem Aleph, it would take, a month to finish. I want to get a taste of it, but it's time to move on. We're on page 132 in Kesem Shem Tov. Aismem Gimel. The Baal Shem is explaining a famous Gemara. The Gemara is in Sukkah, Daf Chav Ches Amud Aleph. We can see the Gemara, just let's look at footnote 1, so that will give us the context, the Gemara that he's talking about. The Gemara there says, Shmainim, everybody knows the Gemara, Shmainim Talmidim, Hayulay Lehila Azakin. Hillel Azakin had 80 Talmidim. Shleishim Mehen Ru'uyim Shetishvelein Shechina Kamesh Rabbeinu. 30 of those 80 that were worthy of Hashras Hashchina like Moshe Rabbeinu. Shleishim Mehen Ru'uyim Shetamar Lehem Chamak Yeshua Ben Nun. 30 of them are worthy that the sun should stand still in the sky like Yeshua, like it did for Yeshua Ben Nun. Esrim Benunim. And there were 20 that were Benunim in between these Madregas, whatever that means. Gold Shabakulan, the greatest of the Talmidim was Yonasan ben Uziel. Cotton Shabakulan, and the smallest of the of these great Talmidim is Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Omer of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, and they said about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, was the smallest of the Talmidim of Hillel. Shlehiniach Mikro, Mishnah, Gemara, Halach, Zagadz, the Dukkei Torah, the Dukkei Sarif, and Kalam, Chamurim, Gzev Shos, and Chulu. That there wasn't anything that he didn't know. V'chimach shekotu shebekulan, kach gadol shebekulan alchas kama v'kama. And if we're talking about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was the smallest of these Talmidim, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai knew kol Torah kula, then the greatest of the Talmidim alchas kama v'kama. We can't imagine how great the greater Talmidim were. Now Omer Laval Yonasan ben Uziel. So the Gemara just says if you want to get a sense of the greatness of the greatest of the Talmidim of Yonasan ben Uziel, that b'shal sheyeshiv aisik b'Torah, that when Rav Yonasan ben Uziel would sit and learn Torah, kol oif shepareach alav miad nisraf, any bird that would fly over him would be immediately burned. That's the famous Gemara. And the Baal Shem Tov explains this. The Baal Shem Tov. Be'er Shaz. Perish Talmidim Hayu Lehillel Shmein Talmidim Hayu Lehillel Ad Oif HaPerech Nisrach Behevel Piv Dionis Ben Uziel. That any bird flying over would be burned by the breath of the mouth of the Torah learning of Yonis Ben Uziel. Lahavin Zeh. In order to understand this, Gambeya Shas Be'elisha, and to also understand, the Gemara tells us that by Elisha Hanavi, Shleinira Zvuv al Shulchana, that there was never a fly by his table when he would eat. There was never any fly. V'inyan Lefi Machshavta Shel Adam Kach Yesh Olamos Lamala Mimenu Ha'imdim Alav. According to the thoughts of a person, there are worlds above him that are standing upon him. Imach shavto b'kedusha v'ruchni, if a person's thoughts are holy, and they're ruchni, they're filled with ruchnias. Kach hem ha'olam shelamala himenu, so are the worlds that are upon him. And if a person's mind is attached to Tuma, then there are worlds of Tuma that are then upon him. There's a reality of Tuma that is generated by these thoughts that are impure. And according to one's thoughts and those worlds that are created by one's, or that are revealed through one's thoughts, Kach Ovrim Lefanav Begashmi, so too will there pass upon him in Gashmias, Begashmi, Oifis Tahirim Atmeim, either birds that are pure, creatures that are pure, or those that are impure. V'uhadin shar minei balechayim tmeim atahirim, not dafka a bird, but other inhabitants of the world that he created. If he creates a world that is pure through his pure thoughts, then he'll see something that then there'll be something that's pure, that's from the world of tahara that passes his way. And if he creates or reveals a world of impurity through his thoughts, so something of the world of impurity in this physical world will pass his way. V'yesh b'zeh sholosh b'chinas. And there are three b'chinas. Achad, one is tahirim. The second is tmeim. And the third is memusa, someplace in between. But there's still something higher. It's called the Olam HaSeichel. She'ein shum davar masiga. There's a level of thought that is so pure, that is so high, that there's nothing physical that can in any way be represented by it. Or in any way to result from or to materialize from its presence. Zosha Omru, and that is the deeper meaning of the Gemara, Kol Oifa Perech Nisraf, that any bird that would fly over Rabbi Yonis Ben Uziel wasn't a matter of a Tama Yatar, it was Nisraf, it was burned, it couldn't be. Because the mind of Rabbi Yonis Ben Uziel and the thoughts of Rabbi Yonis Ben Uziel were from the Olam HaSeichel. And there's nothing in this world, in the physical world, that could fly over, so to speak, the head of Rabbi Yonis Ben Uziel when he was in that place. And v'zeu sh'lo nira zvuv al shulchanai. And this is the meaning of there not being this impure creature, a zvuv, on the table of wasn't able to make it there. It couldn't be there by the shulchan of Elisha. The yoda, and therefore the woman knew, shehu ish kadosh, that he was a holy man. That's what she said. That's why she said that the Shunamis said that there was a holy person that had come. V'yoda shuhu ish kadosh u'machshavto kadosh. That he was a holy person and that his thoughts were holy. He had no impure thoughts. Okay, let's look at the parish a little bit. Be'yam ayim ha'ashas sh'mayim talmidim hoyu lehilal ad oif ha'perach nisrach behevel piv dianis menuziyah. I'm sure that you all know that what Rav Meir Shapira said about this Gemara. It's a famous thing that Rav Meir Shapira said that when the Chassidim learned this Gemara, they're absolutely astonished by the holiness of Rabbi Yonis Ben Uziel. And when the Misnagdim learned the Gemara, they're trying to figure out whether or not Yonis Ben Uziel is chayv to pay the owner of the bird for that the bird was hurt by flying over his head. She says, Yesh Lahavin. What is this Torah that somehow doesn't allow for the existence of a fly or of a bird? What is this Torah? What kind of Torah is this that doesn't allow for the existence of some creature? The Torah is the source of all that exists. And yet here we find that a bird is being burned and that a fly can't be. Well, the Gemara tells us the story, goes over the story in the Novi, but how the Isha Shunamis, how she knew somehow that Elisha was a Kaddish, that he's a holy person. And the Gemara says, how did she know that? How did she recognize holiness? And the answer is, Shalei Niras Ruv al Shulchan, the Gemara says, she saw that when she brought him food, that there was never a fly that was by the table. The Hezbra Ha'inyan, Kilfi Teichen Machshavta Shel Adam Kach Yesh Ba'is HaShah Oilem Es Lamalu Menu Ha'emdem Alav Klaimer Machshavta Shel Adam Yotzeres Metzius Ruchanis Al Yayna. A person thinks that his thoughts are just to himself. There's nothing else. It's just a hidden, mysterious world inside of his own brain. But the truth is that a person's thoughts create worlds. Whatever that means, what those elements are, but they're elements. The machshavta shel ha'adam yotzeres metzius ruchanis elyon. The machshava of a person creates some metzius ruchanis, some spiritual reality. Hashayeches l'teichen machshava zu. That is shayach to the content of the thought that the person has. Im machshavta b'kedusha v'ruchni, chachem olam shelo malah himenu. Sha'avheim yu olam shel kedusha v'ruchni is. The person's mind is focused on kedusha and on ruchni is, so the worlds that are created. Im machshavta b'tuma, chachem olam shelo naitzim ayde machshava v'ayim de me'olav, and according to the person's thoughts, and those worlds that he creates, so it's manifested, it materializes in Gashmis, in physical reality. Shabbos is sure that at that time, birds that are pure or impure, something in between. Creatures that have only a partial simonim of tahara. If you look in footnote 5, Rei Menachem Tzion Pasha Shmini. That's from Shastar from the Rimanover, from Mendel Rimanover. Rei Menachem Tzion Pasha Shmini. Kol David Zarech Achiza B'Kedusha Mekaymai V'Mahava Isai Me'ayin Liyesh. Everything needs some connection. Zarech Achiza B'Kedusha Mekaymai, with the Kedusha that is sustaining it V'Mahava Isai, and that brings it into existence from Ayin to Yesh, from nothing to something. K'mo Yichein V'Minim T'meim Shebe'Behema. So too when it comes to impure things. Hei Mekayom Ayidei Haminim Tahirim Shebe'Sugahu. That the animals that are tmeim exist because there are certain minim tahirim of that type, because yesh memutza b'neihem. There are certain creatures that are not, that have partial simonim of tahara. Shekama minim yesh lehem simon tahara echad. That there are animals that have one simon of tahara. For instance, a gomal, v'chozir, v'anevis, like these animals. A camel, a pig, a rabbit. And there are birds that have also some simanim tahara. Dagim fish, they have one of the simanim. If there wouldn't be some creatures that have at least some partial simanim of tahara, then the minim tmeim would not be able to latch on to anything in this world. That somehow, through the intermediate level of the existence of that min, these creatures of tuma are able to somehow draw from that and to be in the world. I don't know what that means, but that's what the Svarim say. Mm-hmm. And because of that, back in the text, V'chal zayis omr b'machshava sh'yesh lehen kesher l'olam ha'gashmi. Kach she'hen boz l'dei bitui b'oifes ha'gashmi em ha'parchim b'ayis ha'shah. So the thoughts of a person that are spiritual, and there are thoughts that are positive and holy and good and pure, but are still somehow related to levels of existence that can be expressed in physical reality. So then, when a person has those kinds of thoughts and creates those kinds of worlds, so then something from this physical world will show up or will be created. So then there'll be certain birds that will fly over, either birds that are tahar, or birds that are tameh, or other animals or creatures that the person sees or that pass by. However, there's something higher than that. Yesh olam ha-seichel. There's the world of seichel, which is machshava she'eches la'olam ruchni betachlis, which is a thought of ruchni's betachlis, that's so exalted and so detached from anything physical. She'ein shum dover bebriya masigal, that there's nothing in creation. Machshava kazu eni yechola klal lihitofes. Such a machshava cannot be represented by anything in this world. It can't. Nothing can take hold of it in this world. There's no mitzias of any balei chayim, of any creatures in this world. And that's the meaning of when Rabbi Yonatan ben Uzziel was learning, any bird that would pass over would be burned, would be destroyed. In other words, couldn't exist. Nothing physical could exist that would in any way correspond or represent or be somehow a manifestation of those thoughts of Rabbi Yonatan ben Uzziel that were from the Olam HaSeichel. Shemitzat oimek mailas limudo u'machshavta b'Torah, that because of the depth and the greatness of his thoughts, of his learning, lahaya mokim klal u'mitzias gashmi shel chayim, there wasn't a mokim at all for any mitzias of this world. There were spiritual worlds that were enlivened somehow through his thoughts, but there couldn't be any mitzias in this world that would somehow come as a result of such thoughts. Ruchnis, maybe malachim, angels were created, malachim, seraphim, chayis, whatever it was, but not something that could pass by or fly over. Zogam teichin einin ha'omer be'alisha, and that's also the deeper meaning of shalei nira zvuv al shulchanai, and the v'yod ha'isha shunamis. Obviously, she herself was not a plain person, but she looked at this and saw, and she understood shu ish kaddish, that he's an ish kaddish, just like the mizbeach, that there were no flies by the mizbeach, which was one of the miracles in the Beis Hamikdash, that there was never a fly. So how could it be such a thing? You know, in Eretz Yisrael, the weather is warm, and the Beis Hamikdash, the Mizbech, is filled with meat. So how could it be that there wouldn't be a fly? This is also an Indian of the Olam HaSeichel. There were higher worlds that were being affected by the Mizbech, and there are higher worlds that are being affected by such a tzaddik. And she understood that there was somebody different that was over there. He wasn't a person that was thinking about this world. He was a person whose thoughts were on the higher worlds. Shu ish kaddish or machshavta kaddish. It's a holy person, and his thoughts were holy.
I mean, is that Elisha's was very good, not seeing a fly? That's higher than
because it was burned. I don't know. In other words, by Elisha, a fly wouldn't even go near him.
But by
Yonasan and Aziel, the bird would try to make its way into his zone, and would be burned by that. They're both pretty impressive. Okay, page 134. The Baal Shem Tov's thoughts are beyond us, such a thing, but this wasn't an idea that he had. He was describing something, obviously, that he understood and that he knew. Not something that he imagined or thought about. It was just something that he knew. Inyan Hadvekas, page 134. Inyan Hadvekas by Yisborach. Who are the Isis at Teravat Fila? The Indian of Dvekis to Hashem is through Isis Hatara, through the letters of Torah and the letters of Tfila of Davening. She Dabeg Machshavta U Pnimuso Le Pnimius Ruchanius Shibasecha Isis. Where a person attaches his mind and all of his inner kaiches to the pnimius and the ruchanius shebesecha isis of the letters, to the ruchnius of the letters. He looks at the physical image of the letter, of the aleph, the beis, the gimel, and so on. And he attaches himself to the ruchnius of that letter. As the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh said, and we'll see, that every letter is filled with elokus and ilumis, and the physical representation of the letter is just the last stop of what that letter is. But each letter is rooted in higher worlds, the gematria of what the letter is, the shape of the letter, the pronunciation of the letter. There's a remarkable sefer by Rabbi Yitzchak Ginsburg on the Isis of the Aleph Beis on Lashon HaKodesh, where the entire sefer is going through the letters of the Aleph Beis and explaining and bringing down the teachings of the tzaddikim regarding the pnimius, what has been revealed to us regarding the pnimius of each of the letters of the Aleph Beis. There are other svar, and this is a very big subject in Kisvei Kabbalah, what the isis are, what each ice is internally, what each letter is internally in the deepest way. The letter that we see with our eyes is just the end, the edge. So Dvekis takes place, one of the ways of Dvekis is by the person's mind being attached to the Isis, to the Pnimius of the Isis of Torah and Tefillah, when he's learning and when he's davening. Beside Yishakenim Neshikai Spiu, this is the side of what it says in Shir Hashir, Yishakenim in the Shikos Pihu, may he kiss me with the kisses of his lips, which is Dvekus Rucha Barucha, which is the highest level of Dvekus. Rucha Barucha, it's not the Chazal say that it's not like a person where there's a kiss on the cheek or on the head. When one mouth meets the other mouth, there's a state of dvekus rucha barucha. The ruach is passed from one to the other. So kivyochel, there's such an inyan that a Jew can be in a place of dvekus, where it's called a neshika. A neshika, where there's a passage, that there's somehow a merging of two ruchais. Like by a mikveh, also, it's called hashake, right? And the shika. When the water in the mikveh meets the water that's in the bor, the megshamim, the rainwater from the bor, when you take out the plug, right, of the mikveh, and the two waters merge together, that's called hashaka. It's a neshika, it's a lashon of neshika. So the higher waters and the lower waters become one. There's a dveikus of the higher waters from Shemayim and the lower waters of this world. That hashaka is a lashon of neshika. And yishakenim neshika is pihu. And Shlomo Melech was crying out for more and more dveikus of yishakenim neshika is pihu, that we should be able to live in this state of dveikus rucha baruch, where one ruach becomes attached to the other ruach. Uchmoshe shamati em tishkevun ben svatayim. And as I heard, the Toldos Yaakov Yosef was saying, as I heard, Yishak, that it's alluded to in this pasuk, which we'll talk about in a minute, em tishkevun ben svatayim. Right, let's see what this means. Inyan hadveikus by Yisbaruch Hu, ayde oisis haterev hatfila. She yidabek ha'odom machshavto pnim yusol lepnim yis ruchanius shebesoich ha'isius. Shuha nitzoytze heloki, which is the spark of elokus, shebesoich ha'isius haterev hatfila, that is hidden within the letters of Torah and tefila, shemaitzim yipiv, come out from a person's mouth, that he exhales when he says the letters. Obekach mechaber haloymed and medabek es diburo, and by attaching his mind to the ruchnius of the letters as they emerge from the ruach of his mouth, the one who is learning and davening is medabek. The one who is learning and also the one who is davening is medabek, is diburo, is attaching his dibur, the hevel, the breath of his mouth, of his lips, el diburo shel kadosh baruch hu atzmo kivyochol, to kivyochol the breath of Hashem, the dibur of Hashem, which are the oisius of Torah and Tefillah. Besoid yishakeim in the shiko espiyo. Which is the side of Yishakenim and the Shikos Piyu. Dveikus Rucha Berucha. Klaimer, in Yonashal Neshika, the inyan of a kiss, is Dveikus Ruach Beruach. Is a Dveikus of Ruach Beruach. Haborlede Bitui, Bechibur Visachtus Hevel HaPeh, which takes place physically through this attachment and this unity of the hevel, the breath of one person and the breath of the other person. Shebo nimtzeis ruach v'chiyas adam, the ruach and the chiyas of the person comes out from his mouth. Shel ha'ohev ha'ohev, of those who love each other, of the one who loves and the one who is loved, of those two. That there is that fusion of the havolim of their mouths that take place through the kiss. Ubinyanenu, kshemedabek ha'odem es oisi es dibura hagashmiyais. When the person is medabek, the oisi es of his physical pronunciation of the letters on the words, shein hevel piv, imanitzais, and his mind is focused, on the godliness, the elokus, that is concealed, that is contained deep within these letters. Shuhu hevel piv, shakadosh baruch hu kivyachol, because the elokus in the letters is kivyachol Hashem's mouth, Hashem's breath, Hashem's kiss. Hayesh kan neshika udvekes ruche beruchim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we see in the Lashon of the Zohar, look at footnote 3. It has the Hebrew translation from the Aramis, which is Mahi Neshikas. What does it mean, Neshikas? Yishakem Neshikas Piyu. So it says, Dveikas Sharuach Baruch. The Zohar Kaddish says that Yishakem Neshikas Piyu is Dveikas Sharuach Baruch, Shem Yishum Kach, and Neshikah Hi Bepeh. So the Neshikas with the mouth. Shepeh Hu Amoitzev Amakar. Because the mouth is the source and the way of expressing or bringing out ruach. Therefore, neshikas are with the mouth. V'chavivas with love. Udveikim haruach baruach. There's a dveikas of one ruach with the other ruach. She'enim nefrodim zemizeh. These two ruachos cannot be apart from each other. Bo'er Torah from the Tzemach Tzedek is Dabkas Rucha Berucha Dahayinu Shenasu Shneim Achdus Pashit. They become Achdus Pashit. The two Ruchas become Achdus. Become one. Achdus Pashit. Okay, back inside. K'moshe Shamati Mirabeinu. They told us, as I heard from the Baal Shem Tov Bibira Pasuk, explaining the Pasuk in Tehillim. Im Tishkevun Ben Svatayim. Now there, David HaMelech is talking about the simple pshat. David HaMelech is talking about is our degraded state by being in Golus, how we're in a matzav of bizyonos. And Tishkevun ben Svatayim, the simple pshat in Svatayim, the Svatayim is, the Matsuda says over there, that Svatayim is talking about, it's a lashon that's referring to pots that are used for cooking. In other words, it's dirty pots. In Tishkevun ben Svatayim, so there, the Dovid HaMelech is saying that even when we're in such a degraded state in Golus, and the Baruch Hashem will bring us out and bring us higher, v'chuluchu, in Tishkevun ben Svatayim. And sometimes that lashon is used for a pot. The pot has the lip of the pot. Sometimes it's used in such a way. But the word svasayim, svatayim, the Baal Shem HaKadosh understood is a remez in Tishkevun ben svatayim, sheyesh lefarish shesvatayim, haynu sifsei piv shel ha'adam, im Tishkevun ben svasayim. Im Tishkevun ben svasayim. If a tishkevun hayish HaKadosh Baruch Hu shayre ben svasav shel hamadaber, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu kivyachol, tishkevun means he's lying, he dwells. There's a presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that is shayre ben svasav shel hamadaber by the lips. So svasayim, svatayim, in the pasuk is a hint to the lips of a person. In tishkevun ben Svatayim. Ben svasov shalom adabra hamaitzi b'fiv es oisi es ha-teri v'atfila mitach kavana udvekes ru'uya. That when a person's lips are uttering the oisi in the state of dvekes rucha berucha, then in that place of the lips the shechina dwells. There's this exchange where there's dveikus, this yichud of rucha berucha, which I've mentioned many times over the years, where the Baal Shem HaKadosh says that when a person davens and when a person learns, so that kivyochel Hashem kisses him at that moment. This is the teaching of the Baal Shem. That's the meaning of this kiss. When a person is kissing kivyochel Hashem, so yishakeim in the shikas pi, when a person is trying through his learning and davening to concentrate on what he's saying, on his learning, on his level. Obviously, the Baal Shem's talking about madregas or dveikas, whatever this means. But when a person is trying to learn together with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's trying to daven with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not just mumbling words of learning and davening, but his thoughts are on ruchnius. So on our level, the Baal Shem Tov is encouraging us to believe that even on our level of whatever that meager madrega of dveikus that you and I can muster up in our minds to just concentrate on the letters, on the words, that brings about this kiss, this dveikus, this dapkus rucha barucha. Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu is waiting there by the lips of a person. And he dwells there when a person's mind is upon the ruchnius of the Torah and Tefillah that he's saying with his mouth, of the oisis that he's saying with his mouth. And there are madregas, madregas, as Baal Shem says, with the oisis, what the letters mean, and what each letter is, and so on, higher and higher ilmus that each letter contains. They're all different madregas. It's obviously make a difference in the nature of this neshika, in the intensity of this neshika. B'chinas neshika milimala kivyoch. That's what I'm saying. Shagash Baruch Hu Shoyer Ben Svasov Shlom Madaver Amaitzi B'Fir V'Saisi Sator V'Atfilim Mitar Kavanu U'Dveikas Ru'uya V'Pchines Neshika Milamala Kivyachal. That when the person offers a kiss, the breath of his lips to Hashem, Hashem is there and returns the kiss. And there's this Dveikas that takes place by means of this, of the Tfil. And the Tfil of the Torah. And it's like a hashaka, as I said, like with a mikveh. That something passes between the higher world and the lower world. Just like by the mikveh, between the higher waters and the lower waters. Something passes, there's a neshika. There's a dveikus, there's somehow this merging of those two worlds that takes place by the lips of a Jew who's davening and who's learning. And has the machshavas. Has the proper machshavas. I just saw something last night from Shlomo Zalman Orbach that all day long people were coming to Shlomo Zalman. They were talking about their tzaras. You know, they came to share their tzaras with him, and he was very, very exhausted, and you know, he was overwhelmed by all of the tzaras people coming to talk to him about. And at the end of the day, so in the sefer, he said to his rebbetzin, he says, "I don't know. All the years of my life, whenever I had tzaras, I always had someone to talk to. I would speak to Hashem about it. I don't know why they come to me day and night, they bother me." So he said, "Why do they talk to me about their tzaras? Why don't they talk to the Baruch Hu about their tzaras?" It's a very simple word, Shlomo Zalman said, but it hit me like in such a strong way. He says, I have someone I talk to. I guess he would also hear answers from the one he would speak to. In his own way, that a person who's dovuk to Hashem is Baruch Hu, a person who's kissing Hashem gets a kiss back. But when the davening is a davening, that's not, you know. So then we have to find other people to talk to with it. It's not enough to just talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he said in such a simple way, he said, "I'm annoying my whole life. I have sorrows I talk to Hashem." Yeah. Tishkevun ben Svatayim. Mem Dalet. Yeah.
It raises the question a little bit about whether we need to go to a tzaddik or we don't need to go to a tzaddik. In other words, we're supposed to be able to do it, right?
He wasn't saying that
but
one should.
We're not as pure, so we're not as connected, so that's why we have to go. But
so then you have to go, so you're not as pure, so you're not connected, so then you go.
But on a certain level, we really should be able to accomplish it ourselves. We don't really need somebody else.
There's a very, very big thing to go to tzaddikim, and to get a brach from a tzaddik, to talk to a tzaddik, to see a tzaddik. There's a very big thing. What Shlomo Zalman was saying is that in terms of pouring your heart out with your tzaras, he was saying that my best friend and my father, and the one I can speak to and understands me, is the Borei Olam. He's saying that's my best eitzah. If people like us, if regular people like us would feel that, then we would be like Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, and we wouldn't have to, you know, take take the next plane to Bnei Brak or something to say that, what do I do? You know, my turtle died. You know, we wouldn't have to, you know, go. Or more serious tsars than that. I'm using an example of a tsar that's not serious, but people go for things that are similar to that.
I'm just saying, on a certain level, we should have the faith that each person has the ability to do it.
Yes.
We should be able to, yes, to do so, whatever.
His bonus.
Yeah.
Exactly. That's exactly what Reb Shlomo Zalman is talking about. He's talking about his bonus. It's not just by Breslovers. It's exactly what he was talking about. I have a good friend. I have my father. I talk to him when something's on my mind, when something's hurting me. But for people who don't know how to daven, so then they have to run around to talk to everybody else. Yeah.
Rebbe mentions this Bodhi. I was wondering how that works into this. It does not involve osios of kedusha.
That's a good question. So what about like Rebbe Nachman encouraged that his Bodhi should davka be in Mamaloshin.
Right.
So he, of course, was talking in Yiddish, and he was talking to the Jews there. He said to speak in Yiddish, but he said, Beferish, he says, Loshin Ashkenaz, because that was the spoken language over there. But he meant that his brother should davka be in a language that you don't have to think about when you say the words. When it comes to Loshin HaKodesh, so we have to think about the words and translate them in our minds. But he didn't want that. When it came to his brother, he said, no. His brothers has to flow naturally. The letters have to come out from a person's mouth, and therefore you speak whatever your mamaloshin is. You speak davka in your language. So what about the oisius? What about the oisius? The dveikus, the oisius. It's a good question. I thought about that also. You want to comment on that, Shlomo?
Yeah. Nachman also says that it's bechinus ruach hakodesh every dibur.
Right.
So the ruach might be kodesh. The oisius maybe the kelim or not, but the ruach that's being transpired.
Yeah, that's for sure true. Shlomo is right. For sure, that Rabbi Nachman says that the dinyan of leif tohab barali elukim, that when a person says words be'emes that are real, that are pure, so there's no question that the ruach is a powerful and real ruach. As far as the oisius is concerned, when we say things even in our own language, so imagine if it was, I'm not saying the person should do, you know, that we do this, but that there are oisius, like when I'm saying the word like, so it's lamed yud yud kuf, right? So there are oisius that we're saying even though the language is English, but I heard this once in the name of a tzaddik from Yerushalayim. I don't know, someone once mentioned this to me, we were talking about this years ago, who said something to this effect that when a person is speaking in another language, where there are other symbols, with the oisius of Lashon HaKodesh are not symbols, that's mitzias of ruchnius, but an L and an I and a K, L-I-K-E, they're not, there's no significance to those letters. But the L is a lamed, and the I is yud, and the K is kuf, and so on. And if a person says, before he begins this burden, so a person has a second thought, that may all the words that I'm saying, may the ruach be in fill the letters of the oisius of the aleves, and then just speak in English. That's also something. But that's also somehow making some connection to the oisius of the aleves. Yiddish, the Maila is that the oisius of Yiddish are in Hebrew as well, right? The oisius of Yiddish are in Hebrew, even though the language is not. But the oisius are the oisius of the Aleph base. But the ruach is there, and there's a dveikus of ruach baruach, and the oisius of a person's thoughts, the machshava, are ruchnistik machshavas, and Hashem translates them. There's something that my wife uses when she talks to the cleaning girl. I don't know how they make this on the computer, but you can talk in English and it comes out in Spanish. It's an amazing thing.
Google Translate.
Yeah. Simultaneously, it translates. No, she says the words in the thing and it comes out in Spanish. You say it in English, it comes out in Spanish. I don't know how the machine does it so fast like that. But it comes out, you say it in English, it comes out in Spanish. So yes, Hashem, but certainly if the machine could do that, then and Kivyochel can Google Translate, say, Virshal, my language is English, I'm saying this to you, help. And Virshal puts it into Google Translate, and it comes out, health, Azreini. Virshal translates, and the Oisius somehow work out, I don't know. Yeah, Renee.
Is it possible that maybe there's different levels of intimacy? So there's Nishok, and there's Pibuk, and there's Dibur. So maybe when you're not doing in Lashon Kodesh, so maybe it's Pibuk. There's still intimacy in it.
No, but I why do we have to settle for that? I would like to think that, I don't know. We'd have to ask a tzaddik. You should remember to ask such a question of a tzaddik. Somebody to ask, like Rabbi Chameya, it's a good question. If you remember to ask, to write it down, we should ask such a thing. It's a very good question. To ask Rabbi Chameya such a question.
The simple question was what? Does it matter what language you use?
Yeah, in other words, you're speaking, you're saying it, you're doing his brothers, you're speaking in English. So does this program of Yishakenim and Shikas Piyu, how does it work when you're speaking English, or you're speaking another language? So maybe you could ask that of a tzaddik. I would like to think that it's something which there's a stop because Rucha Barucha, but how does that work without Lashon HaKodesh? Certainly Hashem understands every language. No, that's not the problem of understanding, but the Oisis, the letters of the English of the alphabet don't nothing. What are they? Stop symbols. Doesn't mean anything.
Does it work if, like, you're learning, but you're not saying it out with your mouth?
That's a very big question of Halacha. That's a very big question of Halacha. And in Kabbalah. The Shimon is raising also a very, very big question. Are you Mekayim the mitzvah of Talmud Torah Behirur, which is a huge question, in Sugyas and Shas and Poskim. From Rav Shulchan Aruch, it sounds like there's a lot missing when you're not saying the words. We'll leave it at that for now. But it's a question in Halacha. When you're learning, you're just reading the Sefer with your eyes. Your mouth is shut, and you're just looking, and you're just thinking, and you're reading the letters with your eyes. First of all, it's a question: is there a key in the mitzvah of Hagisa B'Yom V'Laila, which the pashtus is to pronounce the words? Are you kind of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? Is that a key in the mitzvah of Talmud Torah? If you're just looking at the words with your eyes, Now, I know you're all thinking, "Boy, am I a lot of trouble?" Please, there must be somebody that says it's okay. Don't worry, There are those who say that it's okay. We're not going to go into the sugi right now, but there are those who do say it's okay. But it's not ideal. Ideally, when a person is learning, even if it's a whisper, even if it's silent, but to mouth the Oisius is certainly ideal. To mouth the Oisius. It is ideal. But not to be afraid in that everything's intact and working and everything is fine. But it's certainly a higher Madrega to at least to pronounce the letters. It's a higher Madrega than just thinking of it. Yeah.
Rabbi, I thought one of the you create the vacus by his holders, you open up the highway, so to speak. And then when you actually do that, your connection is not broken. You created the vacus. This was your time for connecting the Rabbani Shalom, and then you're dominating.
Yeah, for sure.
A broken chain.
For sure. The Hizbodhis is not, many people think that Hizbodhis somehow is instead of davening or somehow conflicts with davening. There was a woman that she came back from seminary, and she had read something from Barry Kaplan about Hizbodhis. And she asked the seminary teacher, and the seminary teacher said, she asked about Hizbodhis, and the teacher said that this is not a Jewish practice. It's not a Jewish practice. So, it's a strange thing to say. And that Kielu, there's something that our Jews daven, and that maybe someplace in India or Tibet, you know, people meditate. Or Hizbodhis and Hizbodhis, whatever it is, I don't know. So what the teacher was saying or thinking. But there's not only there's no contradiction, but of course, like you're saying, that one opens up the channel, or opens up a place for the other one. Hizbodhis creates rivers and rivers and oceans of tefillah. But still, the question is a strong question, that the actual when both Arya and Shimon's questions, when I'm saying those words in English, when I'm saying the words, or I'm thinking the words, whether I'm thinking in Lashon, I mean, thinking Lashon HaKodesh, I think English, we're English speakers and we think in English. And Lashon HaKodesh is a second language for us. Lashon HaKodesh is a second language. So, both in terms of the machshavas and the actual thinking words, and then actually saying words. You know that there's a level of hisbaidus that Ibn Achman speaks about when a person can't, when a person is in a place where he can't open his mouth at all, right? And inside of his head there's an explosion of tefillah, which is also hisbaidus. This is also speaking to Kadosh Baruch Hu, even though the person doesn't open his mouth at all. So there are no letters that are being uttered. It's just in the machshav. So of course Ibn Achman was talking about the way that they thought there was in Yiddish. But it would be no different in any language that the person was speaking about. Ibn Achman was just saying, whatever your language is, do it in your language. It should be in your language.
But we hold it before you would come to a shir like this, you should say Berachos HaTorah.
Right? Besides, that's connected to this question of halacha. Are you allowed to be maharer b'divrei Torah without Berachos HaTorah? That's connected to this. That's this question. Are you allowed to have thoughts of Torah before you say Berachos HaTorah? Are you allowed to lie there in bed? You didn't wash Negovasi, you didn't say Berachos HaTorah. Are you allowed to start thinking, chazing over the Gemara you learned yesterday? Are you allowed to think thoughts of Torah? This is, as I said, it's a very big question. It's a very big question, halacha.
I'm just saying Modani for being before Berachos HaTorah. Right away you say Modani.
There's no Shem Kodesh. That's why saying, you don't say Hashem's name.
But that's not, isn't that connecting?
It's not Divrei Torah. He's saying thank you.
It's a connection to Hashem. You're thanking Hashem.
It's a connection here. Yeah, a connection there. You're not saying Hashem's name. You're saying thank you. It's not the same thing. It's not Torah. It's not... is it a tefillah? Saying thank you.
Precious Hashem's name.
Yeah, that's why you should be careful about it. That's why the those who don't say that don't say those words until they wash negovas. Reishis Chacham Yiras Hashem, to say Hashem's name before you wash negovas. I mean, I don't say that in my nusach in the nusach. You don't say Reishis Chacham Yiras Hashem. I don't know. People who say that, I think you wash negovas before you say that. You don't say Hashem's name before you wash negovas.
I was thinking if you compare a secular Israeli who happens to speak Hebrew from person who was doing it in their own language, you might start to think that the thoughts are the ikar, because this person is a foul person. They just happen to speak in that language.
Person is a what?
A person could be a foul person, foul, and speaking in Hebrew, and not be have the right kavanas, and they may be rotten or something.
No.
And then you have somebody in English who is not versed in Hebrew.
Okay.
But they're holy.
Good.
So it might... go in the favor of the thoughts as opposed to the actual letters.
No, you should be friends with the person who says English things that are holy. Better you should be friends with him.
I'm saying when we ask the question, is it the language that it said?
It's not just the language. We're talking about a combination of thoughts and letters. Besides that, modern day Hebrew is not exactly Lashon HaKodesh. It's a mixture of Lashon HaKodesh and other things. It's not the There's a whole mimer from the Satmarov and Al Gudla Tmura and in Vayol Moshe on Lashon HaKodesh modern Hebrew. It's the closest thing to Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not Lashon HaKodesh. The Israelis the modern day Hebrews. It has the largest percentage of Lashon HaKodesh, but it's not like it's all Lashon HaKodesh. It's Lashon HaKodesh, but.
Seems like the thoughts behind it are the most important, and ideally yeah. Have both.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Could we have a minute? We have a minute for what? For this tiny little tire, page 135. Kshemarach b'teiva u'dveikis sheneroitz lipard mi'ayse teiva. When a person is marach b'teiva, when there's a word of tire and tefila. But a person saying a word of Torah and tefillah in his mouth, and he can't, and he stretches out the word, not because he wants people to hear, but because he can't part from that word. It's hard for people like us to imagine what this means. He can't apart from that word. The word is so sweet and so delicious to him, he can't leave it. He can't go away from it. It's connected to the Torah that we just learned, obviously. He's connected to the inner, to the Or Pnimi, as he explains, to the inner light of that word, to such a degree that it goes on and on, because he can't tear himself away from the beauty of this letter, because this kiss is something that he can't take himself away from.
We say, Shema Yisrael. Isn't that what we're doing? We're stretching it.
Yeah. So, but that's an Indian that for us is an exception. Just that one time that we know, because there's an Indian to have that kavana. But he's talking about the Madrega of Tzaddikim, that the Marach and their Tfilas, that they can't part from the words. We're usually skipping words and trying to see what we can do to avoid words. And the Tzaddik can't tear himself away from the words. I was someplace last night from Mincha Maariv. He's a very fine person. I know him for many years. So he was davening for the Omid, because I go with my father to daven. And he was davening for the Omid. And he was chasing, he was saying over Mincha, Shemoneh Esrei, and I think half of the Shem Hashems he didn't say. Well, he didn't say the Shem, and he was davening for the Omid. He was davening so fast. And then I didn't say anything, it's not my place. And I looked at the Rav, and the Rav just went to me and said, like he said, I looked at him like in desperation, like, is somebody going to do something about this? No one's saying, he's not saying Hashem's name. It's just, Baruch Reitzev Chavachadav. There's not Hashem's name. And I just, you know, happened to catch the Rav's eyes, and he looked at me and he went, like, it's profound. Like, I don't know. Something to do about it. What?
Does the Baal Shem also say that there are times where someone's in such tegas that it's just be tzifas?
Yeah, that's, I don't think that's what was happening there. Maybe, I don't know. I should be Mlamas Chusin. Yeah, because they say what? By the Bedichu, when that guy was mumbling. When he was mumbling the davening, the Bedisha went over to him and he started to go and he started to mumble to that guy to show him what's your davening. And the fellow said to the Bedisha, he says, when a child mumbles, the Baruch Shalom, when a child mumbles, the mother understands the child. So even though I'm mumbling, the Baruch Shalom, so that's for sure, Limud Zchus, I'm not Jew and anybody that's mumbling, but it's not a lechatchila, it's not the right way to talk, and an adult shouldn't be mumbling, should be talking properly.
That's not the reason why he's up to the other either.
What? Right. If that's something else with Baal Tefila,
yeah.
We should be able to answer our main to the brachas. Yeah.
His own explanation. Okay.
But for the rest of us, right. It should be. Yeah. Okay. Shkai.